One of our ladies in our church has been gifted by God in a marvelous way. Kathy Kendrick, she has published poems. And this is one of her poems that she has in her book, and that book's been a real blessing to me. It's called Sunday Morning Christians. Sunday after Sunday, we lift our voice to you, going through the motions, doing what we've been taught to do. But do we really listen to the words we say? Have they touched our hearts and lives? Have we changed from yesterday? Do we reach out to the lost to help them find their way? Do we show the love of Jesus in all we do and say? Are we there for our brother to lend a helping hand? Do we take the time to listen or try to understand? Have we given everything and laid it at your feet? Would you find in us a pure heart if today, Lord, we should meet? Are we led by the Spirit in peace, joy, and love, offering prayers of thanksgiving to the Lord God above? Teach us, Lord, to listen and answer to your call. Dwell within our hearts and minds that we may never fall. Help us, Lord, to be more than Sunday morning Christians, to live our lives for you, Lord, in truth and godly wisdom. I know I'm speaking here and preaching to the choir right here because you're not Sunday morning Christians. You're here on Sunday night. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, there's nothing wrong with being young. You can only be young once, though, but you can be immature for a long time. You really can. Before we get started here, let's define what maturity is. If that's the goal, and here in the passage we address three different stages of Christian life and a progression. So what is maturity? May I sum it up with one word? It'd be simple. We can get a hold of it. Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. Ephesians 4:13 says it this way, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The perfect man is one who comes to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Christ-likeness. Colossians 1:28 says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That word perfect means mature, complete. In this word, it doesn't mean sinlessly holy. It means complete, perfect. Maturity is a lifelong process. It is. The Apostle Paul demonstrated that when he said, I have not yet attained. If there's anybody probably who knew the Old Testament scriptures backwards and forwards, he knew the Old Testament scriptures. He was trained as a Pharisee. He knew the law. He knew the scriptures, and God used him in a mighty way to tie the New Testament, the Old Testament, together in the person of Jesus Christ. And he said he had not yet attained. If you want to grow a squash, it'll take 40 days. If you want to grow an oak, it'll take 40 years. And so this growth of maturity, it takes time. And a great church is one that has all stages active and progressing. You know, I've often thought that perhaps the greatest church would be one where everyone is mature. Everyone is solid, unselfish, and all these kinds of things. Listen, please. That may be an enjoyable church, but it is a failing church. Because there needs to be those little ones. Needs to be those little babes in Christ. Needs to be those ones that we're helping along. And then those that are strong and experiencing victory. So let's look at it, please. In chapter 2, in verse 12, I write unto you, little children. Little children. Now, this is very odd. If you're jotting things down, here's the first thought to jot down, if you will. The thrilling wonders of childhood. The thrilling wonders of childhood. I'm a grandfather. I'm a father. It just sounds funny for me to say I'm a grandfather. It still just sounds funny. I don't feel old enough to be a grandfather, except in the mornings. I do feel it then, but I don't feel it. You think of milk bottles. But as precious as those little ones are, Do you know that they are selfish? I want me, me do it, you know. Give me, share, no share, mine, you know. They're selfish. They're rude. They'll just burp right up in your face. They're inconsiderate. You know, children are brutally honest. They have no filter. You know, little kids. Little babies are lazy. They just lay there. They want someone to bring them their food, want someone to change their diaper, want someone to pat them, love on them, you know, and they're unproductive, you know. They won't clean the house. They won't mow the lawn. Little ones. You know, sometimes they're just flat mean. If someone looked at a little child, a little one like that, and said, if that's the human race, I don't want to be a part of them. We can understand that. Please hear me. Please don't pick out a babe in Christ in our church and examine their life and say, if that's what a Christian is, I want no part of it. Why? Because they're a babe. They're a little child. They know they're saved, but they don't have a lot of other things plugged in yet. Okay? I write unto you, little children, it says, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. We sang the song this morning, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We sang that. Some Christians, they're Sunday morning Christians, some Christians, that's all they know. And they don't come back on Sunday night. They don't open their Bibles on Monday. They might catch a gospel song on the radio or listen to maybe a preacher or something and kind of do that while they're doing some stuff around the house. But they don't have a great zeal or desire to learn from God's Word, to pour into it, let God pour into them the nature of Jesus Christ. And they show up the next Sunday and they punch in, and I'm here giving my ribbon, you know. They're not growing. They're a babe in Christ. I was visiting with my pastor, the very first pastor I served with. His name is Luther Esslinger. And he told me, he said, I want you to come and with me make a visit. I said, yes, sir, glad to. And I jumped in the car with him, and we went to this house, walked in. I may have shared this with you at one time, I don't know. And I walked in, and as we walked in there, there was a lady. She's 32 years old. She was a 32-year-old lady in the body of a 7-year-old girl. She had a disease that he told me, and I can't pronounce. It's a long disease. And it's the kind of thing that the body just never, the pituitary gland or whatever, just never told the body to grow. And so she's just laying there in a bed, and she has to be cared for, taken care of. She never matured. 32 years of age. There are people who have been members of churches for a long time. I've met them. I've talked with them. Over the years, you run across them. And they're mean, and they're crude, and they're selfish. And they have all the marks of childhood. And they just haven't grown and matured in the Lord. Now, that is sad. That is sad. We're going to look at how to grow in the Lord in just a moment, because 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are commanded to grow. It is not a choice. It's an obedience. We're to grow. The thrilling wonders of childhood. Now, listen, hey. It's good to have the little ones around. It's wonderful. It's great to have the spills, you know, sometimes, little Cheerios on the ground. It's worth it. To have those little lives, little chubby hands and little barefoot feet running around and screaming and laughing and giggling and all that kind of thing. It's great to stumble over those toys in the dark. Because you know, one day, there's such great potential. They're going to grow. And they're going to grow up into something that you've invested into their heart and their life. And so we bring them along and we help them. The thrilling wonders of childhood. says, you know that your sins are forgiven. By the way, if you don't know that your sins are forgiven, you better settle that. Please don't gamble with your eternal soul. You're going to spend somewhere forever. The thrilling wonders of childhood. We go from the milk bottles to the mighty battles, and we see the triumphant warfare of manhood. The thrilling wonders of childhood and the triumphant warfare of manhood. Look at verse 13. I ran unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I ran unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Skip down to verse 14. The Bible says in the middle of the passage there, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. The thrilling wonders of childhood leads us to the triumphant warfare of manhood. These have moved to a warrior and worker. A warrior and worker. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. So I ask you today, are you happy being served, or have you become a servant? Have you gotten to the place that you're not the one that's wanting your way and wanting you to feel special, that you're now wanting someone else to feel special? You're wanting someone else to get those amens. You're wanting someone else to be the one that folks are thanking God for and all that kind of thing. You're wanting to push other people forward. You're seeing great victory in your life. You're no longer the spiritual victim. You found the power of God's holy word that says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer to be tempted above all that you're able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Listen, please. God has given that way of escape. Joseph found it, and he didn't have a youth pastor, and he didn't have a church, and he didn't have a Sunday school teacher. He didn't have a mom and dad. He felt like his whole family had betrayed him. If there's anyone that had a reason to be mad at God, it'd be someone named Joseph. And when he was faced with that decision and that temptation, he answered back and he said, how can I do this thing and sin against God? Matured. He had grown. Even though he was a young man, listen please, maturity does not mean that you, spiritual maturity does not mean that you have to have gray hair. You can be a mature Christian and be a teenager. You can be growing in him and be leaving the pack behind. I heard about D.L. Moody, how that whenever he got saved as a young man, when he got saved, he dug into the Word of God. He was so excited. He was filled with the Spirit of the Lord and began telling other people and began rounding up boys from the neighborhood and having a Sunday school class and starting other Sunday school classes. And he was so fired up. And other people in the church, they tried to cool him down. They tried to settle him down. Said, he's becoming a nuisance. Well, what it was, they're just getting convicted. He was growing faster than they were. The triumphant warfare of manhood. If the ongoing of this church was up to you, where would our church be? If we were growing at the same pace spiritually as you are, where would we be? The Word of God is what will make you strong. The sustenance and nutrition of God's holy word, the guidance and the wisdom. You might say, I'm not afraid of the devil. Well, I understand. My question to you is the devil afraid of you? The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, I'm not speaking evil of dignitaries. I'm not at all. I understand God's order and I respect the power that God allows him to have. I understand that. But I understand this also, that God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, the three in one, he is omnipotent. Amen. And we can stand as victors and not victims. The triumphant warfare of manhood. There was a young boy that heard some voice some gravelly, low, mean, vicious voice that was cursing God and cursing the armies of Israel and just all kinds of atrocities and things that was coming out of his mouth and terrible things. And he said, "Why doesn't someone go and shut him up?" And they said, "That's Goliath." He said, "So? We serve God." Remember, he went out with just 5 stones and a sling, and he only needed the one because it was missile-directed. Boom! You've heard of angels on the bumper? Yeah, angels bumped him. Bumped him right off. He had a maturing growth in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God's holy word, in penning the songs of Zion and all that kind of thing, even as a youngster out there in the fields there of Bethlehem, and as he ministered there, as he served there. You know, as you grow and spend time with someone, you begin to act like them, you begin to sound like them. So let me ask you something. Are you acting and sounding more like Jesus Christ all the time? Or are you still sounding like that old self? Judge yourself, the Bible says, so we would not be judged. Triumphant warfare of manhood, the thrilling wonders of childhood, and the tested wisdom of fatherhood. We see this here. And by the way, you might think that he's repeating himself. That's one of the things I'm trying to watch and make sure, you know, I'm not repeating myself to people, you know, and want to make sure about that. So occasionally I'll say, did I say this to you? No. Okay, just checking. When God repeats something, it is for a reason. You'll notice that the tense of the verb is different. It says, "I write unto you," and then later he says, "I have written unto you." The story hasn't changed. It's the same thing over and over and over. It's simple things. You know, we often want something new. Well, God won't give us something new a lot of times until we're doing what we already know we should be doing. He said, "I wrote this to you before. I write it to you again." He says, fathers, are you godlike? You can be a spiritual father, by the way, and be a teenager. You can be a spiritual father. I didn't know much. I really didn't. The Mattinglys lived next door to us in Fern Creek, right outside of Louisville, Kentucky. And I had been to Vacation Bible School, and I had learned some songs, and I was just a kid. And sang that countdown song, you know, taught them that. 10 and 9, 8 and 7, 6 and 5 and 4. Call upon the Savior while you may. 3 and 2 coming through the clouds in brighter ray. The countdown's getting lower every day, you know. And they said, "Countdown what? What do you mean?" They had never heard. I'm talking about Jesus. That he's coming back. They heard about Jesus. Said, "Yeah, he died on the cross. And I asked him to forgive my sins. And he's coming back to take me to heaven." And their eyes got real big. And I realized, wow, they don't have a clue. I ran back in the house and got my Bible. Brought my Bible out. And there's a chain link fence between us, between me and them. And I'm reading to them Bible verses. And they prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into their heart and life. Now listen, please. I know that I didn't know much. And I just gave them the simple truth of God's word. But if they meant that in their prayer, if they meant that, God heard their prayer, and one day I'm going to meet those kids in heaven. I haven't talked with them. Gracious, that was probably 45 years ago. But as a kid, that was the first time I ever led anyone to Christ. Do you have anyone that you're going to meet in heaven that you have a son in Christ? The Apostle Paul said that Timothy was his son in Christ. He led him to the Lord. You don't have to know much to tell people. All you got to know is you got to know for sure how you got saved. And then just go and do likewise. I've written unto you, fathers, the Bible says in verse 13, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Look now again at verse 14. I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that's from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men. You know him in experiential way. Must I go in empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to meet him. Must I empty-handed go? I'm going to give you four things that will be a help to you if you're going to grow as a Christian. Growth, number one, requires the miracle of life. It requires the miracle of life. In other words, you need to be saved. You need to know that you're a child of God. His spirit of life in your heart. Now, someone gave my mother a leaf. And they said, if you will take this leaf of this plant and you will plant that in the ground, said, in a little bit of time, you'll have another plant of that. The leaf had the leaf and the stem and things, and said, put that stem down in the ground, water it, and all that kind of thing, and you'll have a plant. My mother told me that. Mom, I tell you, I just went along with you. I just, you know, I thought, bless her heart. Okay, well, good. You know, I didn't really believe. 2 weeks later, there's a plant growing. 2 or 3 weeks later, she said, looky there, looky there. How about that? The miracle of life. Now, you take a stick, you know, just a stick that you've been, you know, hitting around, you know, just a stick. You take a stick and you plant that in the ground, guess what you're going to have in 2 or 3 weeks? A stick. It's got no life in it. You got to have the miracle of life. And in this passage here, when it's talking about little children, there are two different Greek words used, technia and paideia. Technia means born ones. It means born ones. Paideia means children under discipline. Children being trained. Children being developed. Folks, we need to be developed by the Word of God. We need to be under the sound of the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. I come on Sunday morning church. I come on Sunday night church. Well, good, wonderful. How about Sunday school? I got to come to Sunday school too? Absolutely. Amen. Every time the opportunity arises, if you're going to hear from the Word of God, be in Sunday school, be in church, be in a revival meeting, be in mission conference, be in any time you can possibly go. Soldier of the cross. Find a place to get into His service. Are you a child of God? Growth requires the miracle of life. Number two, growth requires the passage of time. Now, a mouse will mature in 3 months. Dogs and cats will mature and to be able to reproduce in 12 to 18 months. Gorillas and chimpanzees, about 10 years. Human beings take the longest. We take the longest to develop and to mature. But we're the smartest of everybody, right? We take the longest. Growth requires the passage of time. Don't get discouraged. Keep on studying. Keep on reading God's Word. I don't understand it. Lester Roloff said it this way. He said, just reread it. Just reread it. It's a spiritual book. And say, Lord, now, if there's something between you and me that's hindering your spirit, allowing me to understand the Word of God, you show it to me. Reveal it to me. And then, Holy Spirit, would you please help me to apply this. Apply it to my need in my life. Growth requires a passage of time, the miracle of life. Growth requires the receiving of nourishment. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That word desire actually means crave. It's in the imperative tense. It means that he's commanding us to have this desire. Crave the sincere milk of the word. Now, you have to be careful about little children, don't you? Little kids, they'll put anything in their mouth. They really will. They'll eat junk food all the time. I have a weakness, and it's one of those embarrassing weaknesses. It's Cheetos. You can't eat just one. I mean, when I'm into Cheetos, my fingers are orange. It's bad. Every once in a while, Hope will bring home a bag of Cheetos and stick it in. I'm a Cheetaholic or something. I don't know. And Ethan loves Cheetos. And Kayla would tell me, say, please don't give him Cheetos. And I haven't had Cheetos in a long time. I'm in such withdrawal, you know. But you know, he would just hammer those away, you know, as many as I'd give him. Doesn't have a clue. At least I know I'm not doing good, but he doesn't have a clue. And they'll put anything in their mouth. Doesn't have to be food. I mean, just anything they find, they experience it in their mouth. It's tragic when you go in people's homes and you see Jehovah's Witnesses materials, and you see this, and you see that, and the other, and you're wondering, bless their hearts, they're just looking in all the wrong places. They're little ones. Folks, get into the precious Word of God. Let it define itself. Compare Scripture with Scripture. And I'm so thankful for the power tools that we have, and the books, and the commentaries, and all these things. But talk with the author. He'll explain to you. Study. And I know a young Christian, a babe in Christ, you're not going to have him go into Leviticus and a study of Ezekiel and that kind of stuff. Get him in the book of John. You know, get him in the book of Proverbs. Get him somewhere to really get him into something, the Psalms or something like that. But we need to be growing in our study, and nourishment. Nourishment requires the miracle of life, and growth requires the passage of time. Growth requires the receiving of nourishment. And growth requires discipline and exercise. Hebrews 5:14 says, but strong meat belongeth unto him who by reason of use hath their senses exercised concerning good and evil. Exercised. That word exercise is the same word from which we get our word gymnasium. Working out. Studying. Chewing on it. There's nothing wrong with looking up. By the way, if you can go online or you can buy one. To buy one is pretty expensive, but our language has diminished. The English language has diminished. Okay, it is dumbing down. And the King James translation that we use around here, there are some words that are not used today. Now, folks, we can follow the decline of the English language, and we can succumb to that, and we can take the Word of God and bring that down. And I'm not saying that that's, you know, if folks do that, that's up to them. But I would love to know the richness, the closer translation, the closer in time, and I'd love to know those definition of those words. And if you're looking for a good dictionary, look that up. Go online and look up the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And if you don't do that online, then you can buy one, 1828. And it's amazing, in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, you know how it uses, a dictionary will use a word in a sentence to try to help you understand in the definition? You'll be amazed how many times Scripture is used as the example in that dictionary. It's just an interesting thing. And digging in, studying, chewing on something for a while, when you sense that there's something more, then and pour over and ask the Lord to show you that. Talk to find someone who you think is a spiritual father in the church, a spiritual mom in the church. And say, hey, listen, I've been studying this. I was just wondering, have you ever run across this passage right here? I'm just curious. Am I off the beam? What's going on with this passage right here? That's growing. That's developing. Discipline, exercise, who by reason of use, putting into practice. What do we tell someone whenever they grow and they mature in their home? They graduate from high school? We tell them, get a job. Get a job. Be productive. Use what you have and put it to work. Get something back from it. I ask you today, What do you get to do in God's service? What are you involved in? Some of you are involved in the Good News Clubs, and they've just finished for the year. And Miss Lee, about how many souls have been saved this school year, as far as you can tell? Amen. That's 99 boys and girls. And by the way, they are very careful. They know who has made profession of faith last year and the year before and that kind of thing. And they try to ground them so they're not repeat decisions over and over just for numbers. These are 99 boys and girls who've trusted Christ as their Savior. That's a great work for God. Sunday school teaching. I am so thankful for the Sunday school teachers who had patience with me as a kid growing up, because it's those flannel graph stories, it's the songs, it's the crafts, it's the teaching and all of that, that so that as a six-year-old kid, when the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, there was plenty of seed in there and it brought forth fruit and I was saved as a kid. Sunday school, junior church workers. We need junior church workers, folks. On Sunday mornings, we need some folks who will say, you know what, I'll watch the service on the times that I'm helping in junior church. I'll watch it online. I'll go back and get the archive. I'll see the preaching and that kind of thing. I'm going to invest in God's work. I'm going to do something for the Lord. I'm a soldier of the cross. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. What are you doing? I thank God for the folks who take care of the physical property around here, the cleaning, the mowing, the trimming, the bathrooms, all that kind of thing. I'm thankful for those who help as a deacon and help as a steward and our finances. I'm thankful for all these things, our ushers, our greeters, our nursery workers. What are you doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a job? You're serving in the jail ministry. By the way, if you want to go to the banquet, if you're going to the banquet, you need to see Jim. I'm sorry, I just thought of it right now. You got to see Jim tonight. If you want to ride from the church. All right, amen. All right, so get a job. Amen. Get a job. Are you growing as a Christian? And probably the easiest way for you to know is to really look at your life and say, am I reacting in the same kinds of ways that I always used to, or am I reacting more and more like Jesus? And if I'm still reacting too much like I used to, then you go back and you say, okay, what's wrong? Am I in the Word of God every day? Do I have a prayerful heart lifting up the needs of others? Am I spending time with Jesus? Because the more time you spend with someone, the more you begin acting and sounding like them. When you're around someone, you can kind of mimic them, right? It just kind of comes out. The Holy Spirit needs lots of fuel to bring to our remembrance what God's Holy Word says. Read it, cherish it, study it. This is the only book that you're going to have in eternity, right here. So know it from cover to cover. Read it, study it. It's going to take time, and it's worth it. Squash, 40 days. Oak, 40 years. Wait patiently on the Lord, and He will deliver. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Are you a growing Christian? With no one looking today, would you look in your own heart? And thank God. You would probably say, most people would say here today, yes, I know that my sins are forgiven. But is that the extent of your testimony? Do you have the boldness to witness for Jesus Christ? When you go to work tomorrow, when the Holy Spirit nudges you, are you going to, you're going to spurn that nudge? Or are you going to be willing to obey that nudge and to tell that person about Jesus? That's a mark of maturity. While the instruments play, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, perhaps God is moving upon your heart here tonight. Say, Lord, I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I need to grow in you. The Apostle Paul was not satisfied with where he was at. Count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into the things which are before, striving for the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Brother Les is going to sing the invitation song. If God's moved upon your heart, won't you tell the Lord, I'm going to put the pedal to the metal. I don't know how much longer I have before the trumpet blows. I don't know how much longer I have before the doctor tells me I've got cancer. I don't know how much longer I have until somebody crosses that yellow line and I go out into eternity in a big bang. But in the time that I do have left, I want to be growing in you, serving you, and having the joy of Jesus in my life. Sing it, Brother Les.
The Savior is
if God's moved upon your heart, will you answer His call? Just bow the knee. Say, Lord Jesus, use me, I pray. Make me usable. Help me to grow in you. What is your answer
to Him?
Time after time, He has waited before.
Time after time,
and now He is waiting again.
And now
oh, dear God,
He is waiting again.
May I never be a Sunday morning Christian. Help me to be a Monday Christian, Tuesday Christian, Wednesday Christian, Thursday Christian, Friday, Saturday. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you've done in our hearts. And Lord, I thank you for your precious word. Lord, this is a challenging message to each and every one of us, especially for me. And I pray, Lord, that I'll be growing in you every day. New ways that you want to have Jesus to be seen through my life. I pray, Lord, that it be real and be progressive and growing. I pray this for Volusia County Baptist Church as well. Lord, as we go our separate ways here, I pray that you would bless each family for putting you first. I see young couples here that have kids in the children's program tonight. I pray that you would bless them as they raise and train in the discipline of Christ. And Lord, may they have praying moms and dads. For the rest of us grandparents, great-grandparents, Lord, help us to realize that our impact is powerful on these generations. Use us, I pray. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do now. Bless on Thursday nights. We meet together again, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.